Grace, mercy, and peace be given to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a beautiful day to send you on your way, those of you who are traveling home or visit with friends. What a beautiful word to send us on our way, tucked in the middle of our Lenten worship, drawing toward the close. This word from a very unusual source, a man whom, as far as we can tell, rejected Jesus till the very end, Caiaphas, who says to the people, "It is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, but not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. What a great missionary text. And how blessed I feel that someone like myself, who has worked under the Mission Board of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, this June it will be 43 years, should be the one to help look into this beautiful Word of God and this tremendous challenge. So much of Lent is introspective, looking in on ourselves and all that which is part of our natural rebellion against God, to force us to our knees, to repent of our sins, to look longingly to that cross on which our Savior poured out his life blood for our salvation too. And after this introspection, this look at who we are, our need for salvation, and how God has blessed us through what happened there on Golgotha, just like to refresh your minds for what some of us heard Sunday night. "Now I know on whom I'll build and by whom I'll tarry. His sure promise is my shield, him in faith I'll carry. Jesu, thou art he alone, who the foe can sunder, that hell's pains can harm me none, though they flash and thunder. Split open, Golgotha, and earth erupt and quake, and sun no more need watch the tragedy unfold, be darkened, flee. Revenge, speed to spread your terror, the world and sinners to envelop. Ye thunders, rumble furiously. Ye chasms, open wide, the murderers to swallow. With blood bespattered body, with agony defaced, hangs there the Holy One, the Lord of all. Yet his great love, no pain severe, no death can conquer. Let, Father, thy thunders rest. The people know not what they now do to me. Ye angels, know ye yet the mystery of his suffering? Pray to understand and weep." Our agony, our death, our guilt, our shame, we're all there on the cross to erase what we were and in its stead to build new creaturehood, a new creaturehood that lives in love and becomes part of these scattered children of God, whom it is God's will to bring together and to make them one. 1918, newspaper, little paragraph, under political events. A Congress of oppressed nationalities, most of them ruled by the Habsburgs, has been held at Rome in April, and Italy has recognized the unity and independence of the new Yugoslav nation organized in 1917. The Kingdom of the Serbs, Croats, and Slovenes is proclaimed December 4th under the regency of Serbia's Prince Alexander Karađorđević, 30, who will become Yugoslavia's Alexander I in 1921. For all of us here gathered, Yugoslavia has been around forever and ever. It's only now, as the guns are blasting across that land, artillery going heavenward and artillery going downward, that all of a sudden we are seeing again how fractured that little nation is and has been since Tito and his communist regimes held it all together. We were introduced to some new vocabulary a few years ago, ethnic cleansing. And what's so different about this war over against Vietnam and others is that there is a silent majority beginning to rise in this country to defend the Serbs. People of the Orthodox Church who all of a sudden have resurrected all the torment that was there centuries ago when the Turkish Muslims blasted into that mountainous part of the world. And in the process of these memories being renewed, bursts out all kinds of suppressed prejudice, anger, hate, thoughts of revenge. All the very things that Jesus called to the cross. And you and I have been anointed by God through His pouring into our lives undeservedly His love, His forgiveness. We have been anointed now to proclaim across the globe, beginning in our own Jerusalems, redemption and reconciliation. I don't know if you ever noticed it, but this little theme here, that Jesus was coming not only for that nation, namely the Jews, but also for the scattered children of God to bring them together and make them one. That shows a little reflection from John chapter 10, where Jesus is the good shepherd. They too shall hear my voice. That's those sheep that are not of this sheepfold. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And this, again, comes more than once in the great high priestly prayer of our Lord John chapter 17. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. During my seminary days, I heard a lot of Romans 16, 17. Mark those who stand different in doctrine from you and avoid them. Through my whole ministry, I've struggled with that over against this high priestly prayer of Jesus's. And across our synod and the whole Christian church are too many divisions, too many congregations with torment in their midst. And here, this oneness is a plea from Jesus to our Father to make them one, that the world may recognize that it has sent me. And brothers and sisters, that puts a heavy burden on us right here in this seminary, on us as faculty, that we strive to find and demonstrate the oneness of Christ. And from faculty, it can become and move as part of the student body, and from us out into the world. For the last 12 years, after having been in various mission fields of the world for 30 years, for the last 12 years, I've been meeting with district presidents, mission execs, and others as regards the huge challenge of the inner city. Something that's in our vocabulary a great deal is ethnic ministry. And what does it mean? Dr. Donald McGavern, father of the church growth movement, says that the gospel moves freely and swiftly along ethnic, linguistic lines. That's true. So in these big cities with Hispanic populations, Hmong populations, Viet populations, and a growing number of Muslim populations, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, etc. Yes, the gospel will move freely and swiftly along ethnic, linguistic lines. What bothered me with what Dr. McGavern said is where and when does this unity come in? I had an opportunity to ask him that question one day. He said, "You have to remember, Jim, that we're talking about two different scenes here. One is the evangelism scene, when the gospel moves freely and swiftly along ethnic lines. But as soon as the evangelism phase is over, then immediately steps in the sanctification stage. And in that stage, brother becomes brother, and sister becomes sister. And all the barriers break down, and all the hostility ceases, as Ephesians so beautifully tells us. I must say, I'm a little disappointed to move among some of you students and you've got it all planned, where you're going to go, where you want to go. I'm not going to step into your shoes totally, but I would just like to suggest that until that little graduation tag is hanged on you, that you be ready to wherever the Lord is going to place you. And some of you are going to have to expect to be placed in the tough ministries of the inner cities, where unless we get busy with solid evangelism activity that puts out in the front everything that Lent is all about and adds to it this dimension of proclaiming Christ to the world, we're going to see more and more of these big, beautiful inner city churches where some of our Christian forebears lived, converted into mosques and Hindu and Buddhist temples. As you go on your way, be good enough to share with your family, with your friends, even as you take a bit of vacation, the beauty of worshiping daily with brothers and sisters in Christ in this kind of a setting, feasting upon word and sacrament, but remembering always that that feast is not for us alone to enjoy, but to share with a world that is hurting and struggling in ethnic strife and longing for the Lamb of God, the Prince of Peace, to come into their hearts. May God bless you in your going out and your coming in from this day forward and forevermore. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.